praise in this place for his goodness, his kindness, his mercy toward us all. As I was back there, and we're going to get started into the word, but praise and worship, I just felt it so thick in here, amen. As we were singing, "Thank You, Lord," it just dawned on me and hit me so hard that, watch this, God, when we're thankful to God, that's when God can do something in your life. Those of us that have been blessed enough to watch, maybe be a parent or maybe you're an auntie or uncle, whatever your position is in life, when you get a child that's thankful, you just want to do more for them. When they appreciate everything you've done for them, when they say, "Thank you, mama, thank you, daddy," they got a grateful heart, it do something in you, and you just say, "You know what, I want to bless you even more." So can we real quick, about 30 seconds, take some time. This is how God, we're thankful, God, for who you are and what you're doing in my life. I appreciate you for being so good, so kind, so merciful to me. You didn't have to do it, but you did it. You was good to me when I wasn't good to myself, when I wasn't good to you. I wasn't thinking about you. I ain't prayed in a whole year, and you still saw fit to keep me. God, how great are you? We worship you. We adore you. We give you honor. We give you glory. And we give you praise, oh God. Lift his name up in the sanctuary. He's worthy, y'all. He's worthy of all our praise. Yes, he is. And more. He's worthy of it all, y'all. He's worthy. Amen. As we transitioned out of Trust the Process into a new series this week, I am going to challenge you hard as your pastor. Amen. I don't think Thomas challenged you all with a weekly challenge, but I'm going to challenge you in the word probably a little bit harder than I have been, because why? Number one, I want to see y'all get to heaven. That's the number one goal of this thing. I want to see you. I want to see you in glory. I want that to happen more than I want your life to be blessed, more than I want everything to work for you right now. The end game is for us to get to heaven. So, man, will you please stand up? If you're able to stand, please stand. We'll be in Philippians 1 and 21 is where we started today. Philippians 1 and 21, and it reads as follows. "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Yeah. Look at somebody and tell them, grit requires guts. Amen. Praise God. Yeah. Grit requires guts. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I will be teaching from the acronym GRIT, which stands for, in this series, guts, resilience, tenacity, and integrity. Yeah, that's what it stands for us. The definition is powerful as well. I looked it up. It says grit is courage, bravery, backbone, spirit, strength of character, strength of will, moral fiber, fortitude, toughness, resolve, resolution, determination, tenacity, perseverance, endurance, and then it had a nerve to say guts. Yeah. If you're going to be, watch this, a disciple maker for the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're going to be a kingdom man or a kingdom woman, watch this, it's going to require some grit.
Yes, it is.
Today, we're going to look at a letter written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Philippi called the Book of Philippians, and his prayer and confidence in the Lord rings as loud in the year 2022 as it did in 62 AD. My God, that tripped me out as I was preparing my message. I'm actually about to preach from a text that was written about 62 AD. That's nuts. Wow. And it's still so prevalent to this day. Let's look at what Paul had to say. Look at this, Philippians 1, 3 through 5. "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now." My God. So the first thing about this, watch this, grit takes guts to pray. Amen. Yeah, it takes guts to pray. Amen. Yeah, it takes guts to humble yourself and say, "I don't know it all." It takes guts to say, "You know what? I'm about to speak to a being I can't physically see, but I can feel in my spirit." It takes guts to say, "I'm going to leave it all in God's hand. I'm going to pray and put it all at his altar and know that it ultimately is not up to me. And some things cannot be done with my human ability." I love this. Paul says, and if you ever wonder what's going on in the heart of your mind or your pastor, this is it right here. He says, watch this. "I thank God for you, and I'm praying for you and your fellowship in the gospel." I want you to grow in your fellowship. I don't want your fellowship to be, watch this, that I just joined church. It's deeper than that, amen. I don't want that to be the extent of your fellowship with God, that you know what? I got saved and I joined church, I'm good. No, no, no. I want you to grow in God. Paul says, look this, so many times I think us as believers, we get to the point that we're saved, we join church, and then we stop. When in life did God say stop growing? We're supposed to grow until we're old, until we can't grow no more, until our brain stops working, until our lungs stop breathing. You're supposed to continue to grow as a human being. Why is it when we get to God, we don't want to grow no more? Why is that? Paul says, no, I make prayers about you and I do it with joy because I want to see you grow in God. So God is saving people. God is helping people. And then sometimes, watch this, we lose our fire. It's a terrible thing when you lose your fire for God. What do you mean, Pastor, that you've been saved and now you're in a routine and now you're going through a routine? Everything is a routine, so there's no more excitement. Amen. I love this lady. She knows I love her. And we have a great relationship, but sometimes I got to spice it up, right? Sometimes we got to go to a restaurant we ain't never been to before. Sometimes I got to do something. She don't like flies, so I don't give her flies. I might give her something just because it's something different. I don't know. Amen. But you got to spice it up, right? You can't keep doing the same thing over and over in even your physical relationship and think it's going to prosper. So why do you think you can do the same old routine thing with God? The same old, thank you, Jesus, I appreciate you, God. The same old, hallelujah, that's it. The same old, thank you, God. The same old little bitty stuff, and you say, you know what, maybe church ain't for me no more. I don't like church no more. I'm not there. It's because we're not growing. Paul says, look here, I need you to grow in the fellowship of the gospel, the good news that Jesus saves you, that he died for you, and that he rose again to give you access to your heavenly Father.
That's good.
So look at Philippians 1:6, y'all. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's good.
Y'all miss y'all shout. My God. I'm going to read it again. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good, God begun good something work. To me. He begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Paul's talking his talk. I love it right here, y'all. We're talking about Paul. He's talking about grit. Think about the Apostle Paul. Let me bring you to who he is. This is a man who has taken several missionary trips to tell people about Jesus. Ain't nobody doing that. Ain't nobody doing that in 62 AD. Ain't nobody doing that. He's taking mission trips to tell people about Jesus. He's going over rigorous seas, taking boats to Asia Minor, to Greece, to Rome. He's going all over the place on boats to tell people about Jesus. Ain't that a trip? He sailed countless miles. He's walked. Ain't no cars. He's walked countless miles. He don't have that. He builds tents for a living. He builds tents so he can get paid and help people. All this to make sure people know who Jesus is. But what trips me out, at one point, he didn't even believe in Jesus. At one point, he said, this man is a blasphemer. I got to arrest anybody that's claiming his name. At one point, he said, I'm willing to kill Christians. I want to lock them up. But now he says, you know what? The man I thought wasn't God is God because I know he is God. Now I got to tell everybody who he is. Woo, I love this. Paul is confident in this and so am I. What did he say? That God, who has begun a good work in you, will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. If God saw fit to save you, if he saw fit to save you, he gonna complete his work. Yeah. My God see things too. My God don't stop in the middle, amen. When he start, he finish, amen. And if he saw fit to save us, he will see us to the very end. Okay. Even when we can't see it because I'm like, God, there's so much going on right now. It don't look like I'm no way out of this. Okay, let me help you out. This reminds me of a inventor, Thomas Edison. We know who Thomas Edison is, right? He's accredited with making the light bulbs. Amen. We got lights all around us. He's accredited to making the light bulbs, right? But I did a little research on him. And the truth is, the first electric light device is called the arc lamp. It was developed by a man named Humphrey Davy, 78 years prior to Thomas Edison. That tripped me out, right? Then we jump to 1850. It's a man named Joseph Swan who found that carbonized paper could be used for a light. And while it worked better, it still didn't last long enough. So we got two people ahead of Edison that had already been fooling around and messing with the light, right? So now Thomas Edison took what they started and built that on the fact. But what he built on, he had 1,000 unsuccessful attempts in trying to make a light bulb. 1,000. He took their research, tried to make it better, and had 1,000 failed attempts at trying to make it. And one reporter said this, how does it feel to fail 1,000 times? Yeah, he replied, I didn't fail 1,000 times. The light bulb was an invention with 1,000 steps. Y'all miss y'all show. Okay, okay. Can I suggest to you who we are made in God's image, created in his image, fearfully and wonderfully made, that God said, look here, you are my invention, you are my creation, and guess what? I'm going to finish. It might take you 1,000 steps. It might take you 1,000 tears. It might take you 1,000 prayers. No matter what it is, I'm going to bring you to that expected end because you're my invention. What I start, I finish. I'm going to bring it into the day of Jesus Christ in your life.
That's good.
So when you trust God,
yeah,
and let him do his work,
let him do
and
it.
Let him finish.
Yeah.
We shine bright like a light bulb, amen.
Yeah.
But you got to let
that's
God
it.
Do his work. So I love this. Paul was encouraging them in spite of his current situation and circumstance. My God.
Yeah.
Okay, let me help you. Philippians 1:7. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, in as much as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of me with grace. Wow.
Did
I just read Paul was encouraging them while he's in prison? Did I just read that Paul is writing a letter telling them he's praying for them,
wow,
they give him joy, and he wants them to be partakers of the gospel, yet Paul is in prison, he's incarcerated? See, it's not just about me getting to heaven. Paul know he's saved.
Yeah.
Paul know what Jesus did in his life. But he says, you know what? It's not just about me getting there if nobody there get with me.
Yeah.
If I don't do my job and help somebody get there, then guess what? I didn't do what God called me to do. I didn't help people realize the grace God had on their life. It might be somebody that thinks suicide is the only way. It's my job to let them know God has a plan and a future for your life. He knows you. He loves you. He cares for you. It might be somebody ready to give up on their marriage. I got to encourage them and say, no, if y'all submit and get under God, do what God called you to do, he can bring it back. Amen. He got the power to do anything he wants to do. He got the power to lift you up. He got the power to reconcile. He can do all things, and we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. But guess what? Somebody got to tell him that. So Paul is in prison, and he says, look here, I need y'all to be partakers of the grace with me. So the next thing, grit, watch this, grit takes growth. Amen.
Yeah.
Say growth. Amen.
Grit
takes growth. Look at this. Philippians 1:9-10. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ.
My God.
Whew, Paul is doing some encouraging, y'all, even though he's behind the prison wall. I love this.
Yeah.
As pastor, I need to see growth. Amen.
Yeah.
I love to see growth in your life. Nothing makes my hot heart jump happier than seeing spiritual growth in your life. But how do I show growth? I got to get some love in my life to show growth.
Yeah.
I got to get more knowledgeable in God's word to show growth, right? I got to let God give me the knowledge so I understand his word. It's going to spark something I never thought about. It's going to get in my heart. And watch this. It's going to give me discernment. The biggest showing of growth is discernment.
Yeah.
That I can look at a situation and say, I don't need to be there. Yeah, I can look at a situation and say, you know what, if I talk to this person or go to this place, I'm going to get caught up in sin. I don't need to be there, so I can move a different direction. This group of friends ain't good for me right now. I can't fool with them. That's the biggest signs of growth. So he said, look here, I need you to grow in God into Jesus Christ. So what does that look like? Being filled with the fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah.
What are the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, kindness, faithfulness, goodness, all these things that are given to us by the Spirit of God. Amen. So the next thing that grit takes, watch this, grit takes a guarantee. Amen. Yeah, guarantee. Yeah. We're dealing with the G's right now. Grit, I know it's guts, but it takes growing. And it also takes a guarantee. Look at Philippians 1:12. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel.
Yeah.
Ooh, somebody caught that. Amen.
Yeah,
I love this. I love this. Paul is tripping.
Yeah.
He's in prison. He's going through, but he said, I need y'all to know something.
Yeah.
Some things that had to happen to me to have an impact in your life.
My God.
What happened to me isn't just about me. I know we like to think like that, and it's about us. But I come to find out with God that God is the author and the finisher of our faith, right? That he's putting a story together for our lives, chapter by chapter, book by book, paragraph by paragraph, all those good things. And what we see right now, while we think it's about us, in actuality, it might not be about us. So Paul had to get locked up
So the gospel could go further.
My God. Okay. Maybe it's a movie called The Birth of a Nation. I don't know if anyone has ever seen that. Good movie. It's a remake off a classic movie that kind of dealt with slavery. I forget the director's name, but he also played Nat Turner in the movie. The movie's about Nat Turner, a man that led a rebellion in the South against the slave owners. He was a young man. He was a preacher. He was preaching the Bible. He come to find out, watch this, that they was telling him to preach the Bible, but they was only telling him to preach the part that said slaves obey your masters. He could read and write. He said, you know what? I can read this Bible for myself. And it's a whole bunch of stuff y'all leaving out. Y'all leaving out how Moses led his people out to Exodus. Y'all leaving out how it says those who have slaves, make sure you're not cruel to them as well, because you have a heavenly father who looks over you. Y'all not giving the whole truth. So he starts this rebellion, and they come against him, and they just kill him. And he hid out for 6 weeks. They didn't have enough to organize and strategize everything, but he hid for 6 weeks. And then shows a little boy, a little black boy, watch this, brought up in slavery, tells where he's at. Yeah, that's cold-blooded. He tells where he's at when he didn't realize that he was really trying to free his people. He tells on him. He ends up getting hung in front of everybody, and it breaks the little boy's heart. And I love this. It breaks the little boy's heart. He sees the man he told on. He gets hung right in front of him. Tears drop from his eyes. Then it fast forward just a few years later, and it's the Civil War. That little boy becomes a soldier. What you mean, Pastor? That little boy, even though Nat Turner had to die, even though he went through that pain, he inspired this young man to change something and help get freedom for his people. All I'm saying is that God uses our pain sometimes to help people. Okay. Jesus had to die a horrendous death. Jesus had to be lied upon, spit upon. He had to be nailed to a cross, right? Why? So we can get freedom and get to meet the Father. When the church first started in the book of Acts, it was all kind of problems. It was peace at first. Then what happened? Persecution came. God said, you know what? He sent people in to lock them up. People like Paul, who's writing to us right now, to lock up the church. And all this chaos happened. Then it spread from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Why did all this happen? Because some pain had to happen so the gospel could go further. If anybody understands that problem of problems leading us to our promise, it should be us of color, right? The whole civil rights movement, I believe it goes Rosa set so Martin could walk, so Obama could fly. That problems had to happen so we can get to where we needed to be. So I love my God because he shows us that he can use tragedy to bring us to triumph. That he's so good, he can use a calamity to bring forth a celebration. He's so good, he can use adversity to take us to an advantage. That God shows up. Paul was saying this commitment to the gospel and God, it takes some guts and a guarantee. Look at this, y'all. Verse 13 and 14. So there is so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord have become more confident by my chains and much more bold to speak the word without fear.
Come on.
Are we mature enough? Listen to me, church. Are we mature enough to understand that your storm may be profitable for someone's own deliverance and not your own comfortability?
Come on.
Yeah, I'm going to say that again. Are you mature enough to understand your storm may be more profitable for someone else's deliverance than your own comfort?
Jesus.
Ooh, the whole palace guard now know who Jesus is.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, everybody that knows he's in chains know who he is because he's locked up because he preaches Christ. Wow. Maybe the storm is to give others confidence in God they never would have. Wow. But Pastor, that's not fair. Well, I got to go to the storm to get them confidence.
Yeah.
Well, I got to go through for them to get to. What about me, God? Was it fair for God to send his son to die for people who will later deny his son even came?
Yeah.
And was that fair for God? One thing I learned about this Christian walk, that fair need to be taken out of the equation. Because life ain't fair. We live in a sinful world, and it's not fair. Amen. Okay. Y'all don't believe me. I can share my own personal testimony when that. But I know life ain't fair. I said it before, I said it again. We wake up one morning, baby girl, not breathing. Life's not fair. What I do for my daughter not to live? What do I do? There's people that don't want their kids, don't take care of their kids, give their kids up, don't spend time with their kids. That's not the parents we are. Why my baby girl don't wake up breathing? I can't give an answer for that. But what I do know is that God used us somehow, some way to spread the gospel. When my father died, a hard time in my life. Oh, my father was my best friend. Loved him. We hung out. We talked every day, every single day. Not more than a day went by without us talking. Then I had to bury my father and still preach his funeral.
Life ain't fair. All I'm saying is life will never be fair. If you have a mindset that it's not fair, you will never get far. Because it ain't fair for nobody. I don't care how much money they got. I don't care how much influence they got. Everybody going through something. Life is never fair. It might not seem like it, but guess what? It's even better when somebody tells you, watch this, I made it through because of what you said to me. I saw your strength. I don't know. I couldn't have done that if I was you. And because of you, your pain, because of your prayer life, because of your commitment to God, now I can say I know God is real. Maybe somebody will never get to where they need to be in God until you stand up and be who you are in God. To show He's good, sunshine or rain. He's good in the summer and the winter. Every season, spring, fall, it don't matter. Every season of my life, God is still good. So we got to understand that the next part of grit, watch this, grit takes giving, amen. Yeah, grit takes giving, amen. Listen to me, y'all. It takes giving. It takes toughness to give, especially when you are not the primary beneficiary of it. My God, y'all heard what I said? I don't think y'all heard me. It takes toughness to give, especially when you know you are not the primary beneficiary of the giving, which means my giving isn't really for my best interests. Yeah, Paul brings us into his world. He wants us to know God uses us for His glory and His glory alone.
Yeah.
And that don't always look like what we think it should.
That's it.
See, I know we in the social media era, and we think that God's glory is only shows up when I got big stages, when it's thousands of people around, when it's a big crowd, everybody chanting my name, I'm number one, this, number that. God got to be in their life. God don't always, not saying God's not, but God don't always show up like that.
Yeah.
In fact, when I read the Bible, I read something different. That God shows up, watch this, the people God used, they were hated.
Come on.
The people God used, they were disliked.
Yeah.
Elijah suffered with depression. He was tripping. Because God used him to get rid of Baal and Ahab, and he felt he was the only prophet. He struggled, amen. That Paul was struggling because he was the only one apostle of the Gentiles, one place to place. He was hurt. Watch this. Even those that God had used had to endure hardship, and sadly, a lot of them were killed. It takes giving. Look at what Paul said about giving, y'all. 19:21. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. According to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always. So now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Grit takes giving. Paul is a trip right here. He lets us know into his mindset that look here, I'm so sold out on a guarantee that Jesus saved me, he gonna get the glory whether I live or die. That takes guts. That's grit right there, amen. That I have to think about my afterlife. He said, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance. Do you know that? See, once you know, can't nobody tell you nothing different. Can't nobody tell me that Jesus don't save me. Can't nobody tell me that he's not God. Can't nobody tell me he didn't die for my sins. Can't nobody not tell me that he rose again, because I know that I know. And Paul says, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance. Do you know that?
Yes.
For I know that all this praying one day is going to work.
Yes.
I don't know when, I don't know how, but I know he's going to answer it.
Yes.
And I thank God that he does. I don't know how all this fasting is going to work. I don't know why I'm fasting. I've just been called to fast. I feel like fasting. I'm trusting God with a hard situation right now. And I don't know, but what I do know is that I don't know exactly when, but I know it's going to work. I don't know why I keep forgiving people that don't mean me no good. I don't know why my heart is so tender and I can forgive them and not hate them. I ain't hanging with them no more. I ain't got to kick it with them no more. We ain't cool like that, but I can forgive them. And when I see them, my heart don't get the beating. I don't want to smack them. I don't want to cuss them out. I don't want to do none of that. I forgive you. Even though you did me wrong, I forgive you. I don't know why, but I know it's going to work out. All this love that I'm giving love when the people don't even deserve it. I know it's going to work out. My giving, tithing, I'm giving. I don't know how, but I know it's going to work. You have to know that God is going to work for you. He said this, according to my earnest expectation and hope. Notice he said according to my, no one else's. The joy you got, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. You got to let people know it's you. He said, my earnest expectation and hope is not my mama hope. I'm sorry. It's not my mama hope. It's not my daddy's hope. It's not Lady Thomas's hope. It's nobody's hope. It's not my pastor's hope. It's my hope and expectation that God's going to do it. The reason some of us are looking and not excited today is because, watch this, we have no expectation. We don't expect God to do nothing. We don't believe God to do nothing, so therefore we don't expect God to do nothing. And if I don't have expectation, guess what? God can't do what I need him to do. I expect him to do it. I know it's coming. God works by faith, not by sight. We got to believe for the impossible. If you don't believe it, I got newsflash. If you don't believe God can, he never will. Newsflash, if you don't believe you can, you never will. It doesn't matter. If you don't have no faith, it's not going to get there. He said, I'm expecting God to do something in my life. I expect this life to have ups and downs. I expect life to have highs and lows. I expect to have good times and bad times. I expect to have smiles. I expect to have tears. I expect all that. But in the midst of all that, I still expect God to give me what God's going to give me. I still expect God to open that door. I still expect God to save me and my family. I expect God to do the impossible in my life. So all this hope, I love this. He says, nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether life or death. My God, regardless. Amen. Yeah, either way, amen. You pick up. It don't matter. I love this. As a Christian, as a disciple of Christ, a disciple maker, our focus should be that Christ is magnified in our life.
Thank you.
I love this. The reason why Paul is talking to him like this, because he's in a battle, y'all. He's like, look here. God has showed himself to me. God has told me what I need to do. I'm to the point I really want to go to heaven. That's what Paul said. Amen. I ain't got there yet. Amen. I want to get there, but I still feel like I want to do earth. But Paul, at this point in his life, he's like, look, I'm ready to go. God has took me up to the third heavens. I didn't see him. I didn't talk to Jesus for real. I had talked to him in the spirit. And I've seen him. It's time for me just to go. I'm ready to go to heaven. So, but even though I want to go to heaven, it's still work I got to do down here. So it's more profitable for me to be, even if I got to be chained up, even if I got to be called crazy. Watch this. Even if a man named Nero got to cut my head off, the Roman emperor. That's how Paul died. Nero, the emperor of Rome, look it up in history. It's a proven fact. He cut his head off at the chopping block. If that's how I got to leave here, so y'all get the message, I'm willing to do that. So it don't matter if it's life or death. So he says, I need Christ to be magnified, whether life or death. That Christ is magnified, enlarged, or expanded. Old school show, amen. I remember these books when I was little. The show probably later date to me, but y'all remember Sherlock Holmes, amen? I ain't seen the new ones. I ain't seen the new ones. But I remember the old one. We used to have to read the books and stuff in school. And Sherlock Holmes was supposed to be the world's greatest detective, amen. He supposed to be the best detective there was out in England, London, where he was at. And he always finds his man and Watson with him and all that good stuff. But one thing he would do, watch this, he always has something called a magnifying glass. Yeah, he always had something. So he'd be on the scene for a crime, looking for clues, trying to see what's going on, trying to find stuff. And at some point, when he don't find a clue, he pulls out his magnifying glass.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, while everybody else seems to be stumped, he pulls out this glass that makes things that are small a lot bigger. And when he makes things that are small a lot bigger, clues would appear. Clues would appear. He begins to see things that nobody else see. Amen. I'm just talking to us as Christ followers, amen. When Christ is magnified, amen. When we take something that's small and give God all the praise for it, we take a little thing and go overboard for God and say, you know what? It might be little to you, but he woke me up this morning. It might be little to you, but I got breath in my body. It might be little to you, but I'm clothed in my right mind. It might be little to you, but I got my strength. It might be little to you, but my family's intact. It might be little, but we begin to magnify God with the little stuff that God gives the glory, whether life or death. Can I challenge you, church? Start magnifying God for any and everything he does. Magnify God that he's giving you a job. Magnify that he got a roof over your head, clothes on your back, shoes on your feet. It might seem small to others, but I'm going to give him glory. I'm going to magnify him for those things. So when they come near us, when they come around us, watch this, they find clues and proof that Jesus is real because we magnify him.
My God.
When they come around us, when they trying to find out proof, watch this, does his blood still work?
Right.
When they try to find proof if the blood still has its power. When the blood still saves. If the blood still washes away sin. When they trying to find the proof, if we magnify him, they'll find it.
Yeah.
God calls us to magnify. Maybe the problem is with us is that we spend so much time minimizing him that we don't magnify him, and now we don't understand that God wants to do big things in our life. He said, stop minimizing me and magnify me and watch what I do. Because we could say the devil is busy. We could say the devil doing this and the devil do. We magnify the devil and minimize God and wonder why life is crazy. Wonder why stuff is chaotic. Nah. My God is big. My God is strong. My God is mighty. My God is everlasting. My God can do everything but fail. When we lift up God, who he is, he begins to show up and magnify things in our life. But with our boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or death. I don't know how much time I have. Nobody does. Watch this. I don't know how much time I have, but I know who holds time in their hands. Amen. Yeah, y'all missed that Shagai. I don't know how much time I have, but I know who holds time in my hand, in his hands. So because of that, watch this. I got the grit and the guts to pray. Yeah. I got the grit and the guts to grow in Christ. I got the grit and the guts to guarantee that heaven is my home and that this is my mindset. That he will be magnified in my body, whether by life or death. See, Paul says this, watch this. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. We got to have enough sense and enough courage to say, you know what? My life is not my own. And if I'm going to live this life, I got to live it in Christ's way. And if I live it that way, guess what? Even when I die, I still gain because I get access to eternity. That is that deep to me that I'm loving God. So Paul, and I'm done right here. Paul closes out Philippians 1. Please read it for yourself. He closes out and he encourages us because this takes grit to live like citizens of heaven. Yeah. It's a certain way he requires for us to live. He says, look here, if you're going to live on this earth as Christ as your leader, as your follower, as your God, as your everything, then you got to realize you're an alien. You're not of this world. So you got to live like you a citizen of heaven, which means that the love of God overflows and then it controls my decision making. It controls my mindset. It controls everything I do. And then guess what? Even if I make a mistake, I'm quick to repent and get back with him. I'm not going to hold on to my sin and I hold on to him. I'm not going to hold on to bitterness and hate when I know it's bringing me down. No, anything that's causing my heart and my mind not to be like Christ, I got to let it go.
My God, thank you, Jesus.
Because for me to live is Christ. And to die is gain. Can you give God a praise in this place?
Amen.
Lord, we give glory to God. As y'all know, I said this is going to be a challenging series because we got to be pushed. Amen. Yeah. We can't stand where we are as Christians. If I've been saved for 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, I don't want to be in the same position. Thus, those of us that have had children, watch this. We don't want to see our 3-year-old operating on the level when they was one.
Right.
Yeah, we don't want to see that. We gonna something is wrong if you 3 and you operating like you 1, because you've grown past that. Yeah, you've grown past that. I need to see you mature, and I need to help you mature if I can. Same way it is with God. If you've been walking with the Lord, I don't know how long. God is saying, look here, you can't stand at the same place and receive my best. Yeah. You can't stand at that same level. What worked in 2020 ain't going to work in 23. Yeah. What worked in 2017, give me that old-time religion. The old-time religion is gone and past. You need something new. God said, I do new things. When did we decide to trap God into a box? That God does new things all the time. And one of my favorite songs, Lady Thomas might have to come sing it. Lord, whatever you're doing in this season, don't do it without me. See, seasons change. God moves in a certain way. God helps, he heals, and he delivers. But you got to understand that in your season, you got to follow God's voice. In one season, he might be telling you to be still. Next season might be get busy. Well, one season might be wait. Next season might be go forth. It's imperative for us to follow God in his voice. So I don't know where you are in your life. I don't know where you are in relationship with Christ. But if you're not saved, first order of business is to give your life to Christ. To understand that this is unexplainable grace, irresistible grace is so amazing that God gives us a chance to love him even though we've turned our back on him, even though we've sinned, even though we went astray as far as we can, and he sent his son to bring us back to him. And if you are saved, but maybe you're not connected to the body, maybe it's just time to get connected to the body. The body of Christ, other believers praying for you, loving on you, having a pastor in your life, all these things are imperative. Or maybe you are saved, you belong here, you say, Pastor, I just need some special prayer because I need to grow. I need to keep growing, amen. I feel myself, maybe I'm getting stagnant, maybe I've been cool where I'm at, maybe I've been in church my whole life and I've never been pushed to grow. And I need that and I want that. Because I know God, I love God, he's speaking to me. And I don't want to get left behind. I don't want to, God look at me and say, you know what? I can't use you because you ain't grown. I have plans for people to get saved through your pain, but you wasn't strong enough to get through. You wasn't mature enough. Jesus. Life ain't always fair. We can look at Job. Life ain't always fair. Job didn't do nothing to have all the problems he had to go through. But God used him mightily for his purpose. So whatever you fall, any of those things you fall, if anybody online, if you want to put in the comments, whatever you may be, whatever you may need, or inboxes, that's fine. But if you know you need God, if you need to be saved, I want to make the call. If you need to be saved, give your life to Christ. Don't wait, because one thing I know, tomorrow is not promised. It's cliche, but it's so real. Tomorrow is not promised. Maybe you are saved, but you need a church home. Amen. We're here to love you. Maybe you are saved, and maybe you just need special prayer. Whatever the case may be, we're just here to help you. We're here to help you grow and make sure you don't go back home feeling the same way you came. Yeah. If you came feeling down, you gotta come feeling up. And if you came feeling down and out, you gotta go back home with your spirit uplifted. If you came in pain, you ought to come and say, you know what, I got a purpose in God. And I'm not going to let my pain take me out of my purpose. I'm not going to let none of that. God got too much for me. God got too much for me to get to. God has a plan for my life, and I got to make sure I get there. I ain't going to let no devil stop it, no demon in hell stop it. I'm not going to let nothing stop me get to my purpose. God has too much for me to do. I got babies depending on me. I got family depending on me. I got too much to do. And I ain't gonna let nothing stop me get to my purpose. It takes grit. It takes guts to watch this admit I'm a sinner. Amen. It takes guts and grit to say, God, I'm a sinner and I ain't got it all together. It takes guts to do that. To say, God, I got some issues and only you can help me. I messed up. Maybe it's my past. Maybe some things happened in my past. Maybe it's my childhood. Whatever it may be. But Father God, have your way today. Whoever it may be, I don't know who I'm talking to. Amen. If you need something from God, amen, I want to encourage you. God wants to touch you. What, you want to be where he is in this season. You want to be where he is. Ain't got time to play. God has a purpose for you. God has a plan for you. God wants to do something in your life. God cares about you as an individual. He cares about you and your family. He cares about you. But he holds the whole world in his hands. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us about our God, that he knows the number of hairs you have on your head. What kind of love is that? To even know how many hairs is on your head. He loves us. We're his creation. All he wants us to do is worship him. All he wants us to do is trust him. All he wants us to do is to come to him, to allow him to lead our lives and watch what he does. So if you're in need of anything from God, amen, I do want to give you the opportunity. I don't know what you might be. If you need anything from God, let today be your day, amen. If you don't, we're going to stand in agreement in prayer with these up here, amen. If you could, stretch your hands to him, amen. I believe in power. I believe that God moves. Amen. We in the sanctuary. We believe in, oh God, that you are doing something amazing in their lives, oh God. We are thanking you, oh God, in advance, oh God, for what you're doing in their lives, oh God. Maybe somebody online needs prayer, oh God. We thank you, God, that prayer can go through all realms, oh God. That prayer can touch, oh God. That we can all talk to you at the same time, oh God. What an awesome God you are. We're believing and trusting in you, oh God, that whatever it is, the enemy can't do it, oh God. That we come against the enemy, we stamp them out, oh God. We believe that you're going to have your way in lives. We believe for deliverance, for healing, oh God. We believe new levels of trust, oh God. We believe, oh God, for faith, oh God, that faith will increase, oh God. I don't care what has tried to dismiss your faith. I don't care what has tried to diminish your faith. I don't care who what they said you can't do. Through, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's the grit that I got strength in Christ. That it don't matter what it looked like, I'm still going to praise him. It don't matter what I hear, I'm still going to thank him. It doesn't matter what my mind tries to tell me. Sometimes my mind plays tricks on me and tells me I can't do it. But God, I believe your word more than I believe my mind. I believe your word more than I believe my feelings. I believe your word more than what they said. I believe your word. You said heaven and earth will pass, but your word will endure forever. I believe your word above all else, oh God. Help me to understand that and believe in your word when I can't trust myself. When there's nothing else, when nothing else makes sense, I'm always able to turn to your word and find you in your heart and allow you to work things out for my good. We already said it, oh God, your intention, oh God, and we trust you that you are working all things together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. We trust you, oh God, that you are working things out for our good, even when it don't look like it, even when it don't feel like it, even when I can't see it, I'm still going to walk by faith and not by sight, because you are working things out for our good. And faith, oh God, is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. We believe in your word. We will believe the report of the Lord right now in the name of Jesus, oh God, that healing is taking place, deliverance is taking place. Father God, all the things that we need, oh God, that only you can provide are taking place right now in this place, oh God. We believe it, oh God, that it's taking place right now, Father God. Even though we can't see it, we believe you are shaping and you are forming, you are healing, you are delivering, you are putting steps in order, you are putting people in our lives, you are taking people from our lives, you are doing everything you need to do, oh God, to make sure we are walking in your purpose and your plan, oh God. We believe it and we stand on it, oh God. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, hallelujah. Thank you, God, some praise in this place. Thank you, God, some praise in this place. Praise him like it was your breakthrough. Praise him like somebody was praying for you. Praise him like you needed a breakthrough. Praise him like that, amen. We learn to celebrate others and what God is trying to do in their life. That's when God begins to do the amazing in ours as well. Amen.
Thank you,
amen. We thank you, Lord, for your word.
Thank you, Lord.
We thank you for everything, amen, that you're doing in our lives.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
At this time, we want to get ready for our offering. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
If you need an envelope, please raise your hand. Our usher will be glad to give you an envelope. If you need to give electronically, it should be on the screen.